Hi, and you're very welcome to the Leitrim GAA podcast with myself, Breffni Early. And this week, our co-host is Derek Kelleher. Derek, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Breffni. Great to be back again to talk a little bit about Leitrim football.
Yeah, no, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. Of course, Colin Regan missing from the rotation was due back this week, but he's just back from paternity leave, new arrival in his house. So he'll be back with us in the coming weeks. But we're chatting with you today, and I suppose it's quite timely that we're chatting with you today because, as we're going to get into a little later on in the show, your own side, Gortletra, in action this weekend in the unplayed intermediate final from last season, which takes place on Sunday. Exciting times in the parish.
It is all right, Breffni, yeah, but I suppose compared to last year, it's an unusual feeling. The colours were out, and I don't think it'd be the same passed through it this evening. Colours everywhere last year, better than it ever was, and now I think a lot of people can't remember where to put their flags. So there'll be a bit of a panic buy-in this week to get the colours back up again. We have our cool camps in Gortletra this week, so there's a bit of colour in the park. We're talking to the kids about the game, about what happens, about finals, how you get there, how you play, how skill is so important, dedication, and of course your mental fitness, different ways of thinking outside of just kicking a football or catching it. So it's to try and build it up again and get that excitement. But it was great this morning when, and I suppose you get put in on the spot sometimes. One of our coaches, by his youngest son, who's five, said, "Daddy, what's the story with my ticket for the game for Sunday?" And the reaction was, well, I'll have to see.
Yeah, it's always that clamour for tickets. And of course, we'll chat about that a little bit later in the programme. And we want to just cast our eye back to last weekend. Of course, great result for the ladies. Despite maybe not looking that great for most of the game, they came through 3 goals in 4 second-half minutes. Put paid to Clare's challenge in the ladies' intermediate All-Ireland Championship final. Leitrim secure top spot in Group 2. They'll know who they face in the quarter-final after the groups conclude this weekend. We'll be chatting to Hugh Donnelly in just a little bit of time. And, of course, the domestic, the internal club leagues here in the county, the Masonite football leagues, they all concluded the group stages, at least the first 4 rounds of games, or 5 rounds in case of Division 3 of games, finished up over the weekend. And we will, of course, have finals in those competitions. We'll chat about them later on. But first, we might just cast our eye back towards that game played in Ballinasloe over the weekend, where the ladies took on Clare. And let's have a chat with the ladies' football manager, Hugh Donnelly. Of course, Leitrim in action on Sunday in the second round of the Little All-Ireland Ladies Intermediate Football Championship. Ballinasloe, as we mentioned, the venue for the game against Clare. The Clare's first outing of the year. Leitrim needed a win to secure top spot and a more favourable seeding in the quarterfinals. And we duly managed that. Hugh Donnelly, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks a million, guys.
So, of course, manager of the team, as we mentioned at the start of the show. But I suppose it's been an interesting season for Leitrim. Very impressive in stages. Slow start. We've seen a bit of that recently, but a slow start on Sunday. But it all worked out in the end. Tell us a bit about the game, I suppose, from your point of view.
Look, we knew going into the game that if we performed, it's not very often that Leitrim can control the outcome of the situation we're in. So we knew by getting the win the week before that, avoid defeat primarily, and we're definitely number one out of any relegation dogfight that you could be possibly in a number two, then you could very much top the group. So we knew going into the game that, a win would set us up really nicely. And I suppose one thing, when you go in as underdogs, you have absolutely nothing to fear, nothing to lose. And I think that helped us an awful lot as well. When the week before, possibly, we were maybe, looked upon as favourites for that Fermanagh game. And sometimes that doesn't do you justice. So, we're just delighted to get across the line and finish in top spot.
Yeah, Hugh, no, it's great to see the wins coming again. I suppose after a good league campaign and seeing the result of the weekend, goals win games, it comes into it. And just in regards to coming off that defeat in the league final, how did the girls respond to it? What was the mood in the camp coming into a championship? You'd have high hopes of getting places in.
Yeah, well, I suppose knowing that we underperformed in the league final, there was quite a bit of hurt there, and probably still is, to be perfectly honest. We underperformed, and we wanted to make sure that that didn't happen again. We went out the week before against Fermanagh, and you talk about goals winning games. We missed, I think, nearly every opportunity we had on goal against Fermanagh. And you could see the confidence draining from us on occasions when that happened against Fermanagh. And last week then, or on Sunday past, we got our opportunities and we took them, and that was the difference. And it's amazing what a goal can do confidence-wise, and then two, and then three. So, as I said, we had a really honest chat the Monday night after the Fermanagh game, and we talked about things that wasn't working and things that we needed to work on. That, and these are very fine margins. You talk about, I suppose, Michelle Goffin's shot on target against Fermanagh. You're talking inches. That's the difference in some of these games. It's literally the width of the post. So it was fine margins, and we knew that if we could, just work on certain aspects, it would not only add to our game, but it would get us over the line. So going into the game, we were, I said this at the start of the game as well to some of the other guys, was that, no one give us a chance on Sunday. And when you don't have that pressure, you can go out and enjoy yourself and play a bit of football. And as I said, we had, I suppose, we wanted to prove to ourselves first and foremost that we can perform and be consistent and not concede early and do things that we, should be doing properly, and try and be more consistent over the 60 minutes,
Yeah, in terms, I suppose, of that particular 3 or 4 minute period where Leitrim really took the game by the scruff of the neck, 2 goals from Michelle Gookie prior to that as well. How vital has her scoring been? Because we've seen a lot of her maybe at the other end of the pitch over the years, but she's really made that transition to being one of the kind of the main targets in a fairly high-powered Leitrim forward line. How big of an addition has she been on form this season?
Yeah, look, she's been fantastic. I've never known her anywhere only to be outfield, so I've had, look, she's got absolutely everything. But it's like everything else, a hell of a lot of credit has to go to the other 14 players around her, because where she plays, and a lot of the time she plays in on the edge of the square, the ball has to be got to her. And there's a lot of work, goes about getting that ball to her and preventing scores. At the end of the day, if we only concede 10 scores, we're going to have to, get 11 scores to win. So there's a hell of a lot of work goes on around her to get the ball to her. And we are absolutely riddled with talent in that team. There is serious ability in that team, not just on the starting 15, but even there, the changes that came on Sunday actually changed the game. It helped our game, it helped the running game. And as I say, I'm in a very privileged position to have a really good squad of players who are, as I say, just the talent and ability is phenomenal.
A little bit of a substitution there. Derek's had to switch out his laptop for his phone. The hot weather is affecting more than just our own body temperatures. It seems technology failing as well. Hugh, we were chatting about Michelle Gookie's contribution, but she's one of a couple of dozen girls really who've really made an impact this year. Some names we'd be long familiar with, but there are others that have come in and made a quiet contribution there. Without maybe grabbing the headlines so far, we've seen debutants coming in all aspects of the team, right from the defence right through the team. Ailish Kernan came in, and that's when we chat about her at the weekend, because she's been a solid member of that team up to now. But there was an incident at the end of the game. What can you tell us about what happened and how she got her marching orders in injury time in the game on Sunday?
I believe it or not, and I think I said this to someone else, I actually missed it. I have absolutely no idea what happened. It's only that I actually went back to watch it via YouTube that I saw what happened. And to be honest, it was, I think it was very harsh, to be perfectly honest. There was definitely kick out in terms of from the clear opponent, and I genuinely do think Ailish tried to get her balance and use your arms to get your balance, and I think if anything there was minimum contact, if any contact at all. So no, we're looking into that. We'll try and appeal that, because not just ability wise, the experience that Ailish brings to the setup is phenomenal. So we'd like to do everything we can to try and get her back onto the hopefully the game in 3 weeks' time.
So it's Hugh, Arsene Wenger, Donnelly. I definitely didn't see it, Ref.
I actually didn't until, and I've seen it 40,000 times since, and I've slowed it down and sped it up and done everything looking at it, but I genuinely didn't. And funny enough, it was the linesman I asked what happened, and actually reading between the lines now, I don't even think he got it right, because I was led to believe, well, what I was told was that it was a green kick and a yellow elbow, which was wrong also, so... Whether it's mislines of communication or what, I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, look, we'll do all we can to try and appeal that. I think it's fairly evident that there was intent there from certainly one player, and it wasn't English, you know. So
yeah, it's good to hear, Hugh, that there'd been an appeal put in, because it's very harsh, and it would have it happened over years and years ago, I suppose, with the men's intercounty in 2000, when you end up missing one of your pivotal players because of incidents that happened. But if it, if there's a chance to put in the appeal and try and push it through, because Ailish seems to be quite a big part at the backbone of what you've been trying to do. And would there be many, like, I suppose, talk about people being in contention. How many, like, for places, and I know from the little bit of county experience that I had, the best teams that you come out of is when there's somebody on your back that wants your place. So what's the fire in the belly like for people seeing an opportunity to try and stake a claim for a place for the next round?
Yeah, and look, you know, I suppose the one thing that has come out of all of this is that because there's competition individually, your own standard increases as well as the team's standard. So when you have that good competition coming in for places, then it just adds to absolutely everything. And as I said, we've almost nearly two players for most positions now. We're carrying a few injuries defensively at the minute. But outside of that, there's great competition. And, you know, as I said, for players to come in, we need to be very careful. We're still carrying quite a number of the younger squad members. There's three or four involved in minor championship as well, with, you know, three or four girls who's in their late teens, early 20s. So it's all about getting experience. It's just getting that balance right. It's getting them, you know, I had this conversation with one of the defenders the other day. You know, when you come into training and you have to mark Michelle Gookin or Alva Clancy or Leah Fox or Maureen Devaney, Roisin McHugh, or Bruno, like, they're serious, serious forwards, and there's only one way you're going to go by marking them players at training, and that's improve and develop individually. So, look, the competition is there, and it's great to have it. And I suppose that's why we're progressing, because we have the strength and depth of the panel, and anybody who on any given day who may not be performing on the day for various different reasons, then we can call in somebody who is number one. Familiar in that role, knows their roles and responsibilities, and can slot right in without changing five or six of the players that maybe personally I would have done previously with other teams, because you just didn't have the personnel or you didn't have the panel numbers. So it's great in that way, you know.
What are you going to be at this weekend, Hugh? Obviously, you wait to see who comes in second place in Group 3 in the competition. Roscommon are in there. Obviously, for most of us who live along the Roscommon border, there's always a nice little bit of, just given that particular fixture, anyone you'd like to get, anyone you'd like to avoid, maybe to a later stage if we are lucky enough to get there?
Look, personally, we knew, you know, playing Fermanagh was going to be a tough challenge. We knew that it was going to have to be a tougher challenge, and it was a tougher challenge with Clare, because the experience and the intensity that they play at and the level that they've been playing at for years. And, you know, the next game is going to be another step up, and we talked about that and we know that. So we're going to have to raise our game again. Personally, this week is about just getting a bit of recovery in, and that the girls just maybe chillax this week in terms of you know, do their own trainings, do their own sessions that they have been given. We're going to collectively meet for the minor match tomorrow as a team, to give the minor girls a little bit of support. They play in Newton Village tomorrow in their championship. So it's really important that we support the girls who's on the panel as well. So, and then we're back to business, back out again Friday night, and we'll take it from there. And it will be a day trip out some road on Sunday down to Kinnegad, I think that game's in Kinnegad. I think Roscommon and Kildare, isn't it? I think
you're right on that. Yeah,
it'll be a day trip down there on Sunday.
Speak to us a bit about maybe the change, because I suppose we're after watching a tough year for Leitrim hurlers and footballers. No wins on the board this season for any of them at any level yet. Minors, of course, still to play. And if we cast our mind back to last season with the ladies, two championship games, two fairly heavy drubbings, and not an awful lot of positivity coming out of either of them in Down and against Meath. I suppose Leitrim men's are where the ladies were 12 months ago in terms of the results of the championship. What has been done to turn that around, that maybe the lads might be able to get a little bit of inspiration when a new manager gets appointed in the coming weeks?
Honestly, the only thing that we've worked on really hard over the lockdown, the latest lockdown or the previous lockdown, was just the mindset and how we approach things and figuring out what goes on between the 2 years, because it's massively important. I spent this last 18 months doing quite a bit of study myself on it, and our thought process and how we get the results that we do, and until we start figuring out what goes on in between the 2 years, then a lot of other things start to make sense. So it's how you approach things and how you do things. And so initially we spent, I think it was 12 or 14 weeks doing a little bit of that, and what we tried to do was make players aware of why they are getting the results that they're getting, and how they go about maybe changing some of them wee things, and just your thought process and how you approach things and how you perceive negativity and how you address it and spotting the signs and symptoms of it. So personally, that amongst sitting down again and just going back to the well and training that little bit harder, the gear's done a serious amount of work again over lockdown in terms of their own fitness programs and stuff. And I actually genuinely do think they come back into county this year in better shape, which means that I have less conditioning work to do with them, because they are coming at a reasonably level of fitness to me. So therefore, I can spend more time doing ball work and setups and systems of play and stuff like that. So, the players deserve a hell of a lot of credit for where they've got themselves. And, people talk about, I suppose 2019, they didn't feel, or 2018, they didn't feel, 2019, they're almost relegated. And then we started our journey. Obviously, COVID put an end to our National League, and then we went into a championship, which, beat eventually by Meath, who they are the intermediate All-Ireland winners and who are holding their own in senior. And let's be honest, they're probably everybody's, aspirations now. Everybody in intermediate level want to get to where Meath are going and how they went about it. Down that day, we had the beating of Down, believe it or not. We had, again, opportunities to take scores and we didn't take them. And again, a little bit of negativity and naivety and lack of experience just at them killer games. But we went back to the drawing board, and as I said, the Gaelics were absolutely brilliant. The county board were absolutely brilliant. We just addressed a few things and thankfully, the jigsaw's been slowly being put together and everybody's adding to it. And, we are where we are today because of buy-in, discipline, commitment, serious amount of communication, just small things that add up to the bigger picture,
Yeah, Hugh, it's great to see the positivity coming across, because from the way that you speak about it, it flows naturally. It's not it doesn't seem to be, thought up before you came onto the show. You're giving it from the heart, and I think from seeing the results and the way that the girls are pulling together, it seems to be your attitude and your energy level seem to be going the whole way down through the panel. So look at from our point of view, like for going forward, the ladies have been inspirational this year. To be honest, I've said it about been inspirational to the young girls and there's an awful lot of young girls training now, and I see it at Cool Camps. You have maybe 3/4 are girls now. So they're really looking up. They want to move on a little bit further. And even for the lads and the boys, after the disappointment of the Mayo result, and I suppose maybe disappointment in coming into the game with maybe not as much work done as the ladies seem to have done, and take the level of responsibility they have taken to come into you for you to polish off their skills and game plan. That's something that that hopefully will carry you through as far as you can go, and that we'll all learn a lesson from it on the right way to do things.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I suppose it's boiled down to you know, the foundation is, and anything is the girls want this. They're driving this. Yeah, we have put things in place and we put structures in place, but this is primarily driven by the girls. And you kind of seen that last Monday night when we had the chat. It was very honest. It was very open. It was critical at times, which it needed to be. There was a few, you know, very brutal and honest points made, and that's a sign of a really good team, where they realise that, you know, what they've done, I suppose, last year got them as far as last year. This year they knew they had to go back to the well. They knew they had to do something different, and so far it's got them to where they are. And I suppose this group of players have maybe never done stuff like this before. So again, you have that, you know, it's all new to them, and it's an interesting thing for them, and they're getting the results. It's like everything else, guys. What you put into to whatever you do, you'll get out of it. So look, I'm delighted that they're enjoying it. I'm delighted that they're getting the results that they deserve to, because they've put in a serious amount of work.
Absolutely. Listen, Hugh, it's been a pleasure watching the season develop so far. Hopefully there's a couple more rounds of this All-Ireland Championship to play out over the next couple of weeks. It's a fairly chock-a-block schedule. The third round of the groups happens this weekend. Then there's a two-week break, if I'm correct, to the first round. It's the same round as the Lads Championships kicking off here in the county, 6th and 7th of August, I think. Yeah. Is that quarterfinal weekend, and then I think it's every 2 weeks from there potentially to a potential All-Ireland final date on the first week in September. So the very best of luck to you and the girls as that progresses over the next few weekends, and hopefully we'll be seeing the green and gold edging their way closer and closer to a Croke Park date later in the summer. Thanks very much for joining us.
Appreciate it, lads. Thank you. Thanks a million.
Thank you. Best wishes.
Cheers.
Hugh Donnelly there, real positive news coming out of the ladies' side of the game in the county in recent seasons, and a huge central to all of that. Now, Derek, before we go any further, I feel like I have to stand up for, I'm not sure which of our co-hosts, you were quite edging towards there when you mentioned 2000 and players been unavailable, because one got suspended out of that semi-final, the other got sent off in that semi-final. So although the way the suspensions work was very different back then. Aidan got sent off in the game, but was available for the county final because it was, I think it was four weeks and a day. He was eligible by a day, whereas Colin wasn't sent off or even booked in the semi-final, but obviously got caught by a bit of ball boy up by the cameras later on, and received a little bit of a holiday for himself from the game. Which of them were you kind of hinting at there, should I ask, before I get to trouble?
To be honest with you, I had forgot about the Aidan one, so I killed two birds with one stone on that hammer.
So it was Rigo you were getting at that. I can just imagine our co-host WhatsApp group is going to blow up when the boys see that when it comes out later in the week. So I'm just curious. I didn't say anything this time. It was me the last time. Derek, moving on to the weekend, of course, central to most people's attention over the next couple of weeks will be the club football. But before we get into that, maybe let's draw a line completely under the inter-county senior season. Terry Hyland has, since our show last week, has announced that he won't be coming back as a manager with Leitrim for next season. Not that unexpected of news, but still fairly significant news all the same for the sport in the county here.
Yeah, it probably wasn't unexpected at all. I suppose with the people leaving, well, players leaving the panel a number of weeks before the game shows there's something just not right in the camp. I don't think it happens generally. Terry, and we would have interviewed him here, and look at, he has best intentions. He tried his best. But as I mentioned to Hugh, and Hugh had said it about the Leitrim ladies, they came back in savage shape. That he was actually out to manage them and get their game plan and work on their skills. We didn't seem to have that. So I think there's like Terry, look, at as manager, you're always going to be the fall guy in any situation. You take the job knowing that if it goes well, you're a legend. If it doesn't go well, you're the devil and all that comes with it. So look, at a hard position to be in, and especially with COVID, we didn't handle it well at senior men's level. Disappointment with the under 20s, the way that they performed in the championship. I think their heads went down a little bit, so maybe mentally wise. But I'm delighted to hear that the ladies are coming back in, and maybe we should take a little leaf out of their own book for any inter-county men's footballers that want to play for Leitrim next year, that it's not a case of take it or leave it. You either live as a county footballer and you carry it with the pride that it should be, and that it always was, that you do whatever is asked of you, because it's a short life in inter-county football, and you're remembered, and I'd be remembered for some decent things, some not so decent things. Do you know what I mean? But still, you'd like to, like, everybody has regrets, but do you let them carry? I wouldn't be on this program if it hung over me as much as it did for a while, because regret is, you know, it holds you back. You need to be looking forward. A lot of the players, most of the players on the panel, they have to decide now, am I going to play county football or am I not? It's not, am I going to play a little bit of county football, a nod time? So get it in order and come out and show the whole country. We created, and I'd say we, Leitrim, the GAA, the press, we created the conversation that they've been talking about for 10 years, and they brought in qualifiers to give a chance, which brings most of the stronger teams through. But that this second tier, all this sort of stuff, like it booms, it sells papers after a big beating. Like a big beating years ago, if you were bet by 10 points, you are trashed. Now you have to hit 20 points or more to be trashed. So it's the way we look at it. But the option is there for all the lads, the disappointment. You said there it hurt the girls after losing, and it hurted them for a number of weeks. I'd like to see it hurting our inter-county footballers with the two. I don't like people talking about Leitrim unless we're in Croke Park. You know,
yeah, I think just looking back on Terry's couple of years, it's coincided with, I suppose, what I'm doing here at Leitrim Daily over the last three seasons, and I suppose I was at those early league games when that momentum, the Leitrim rising momentum, was starting to build with those comeback wins against Wexford and such back in the early stages of that season before it caught the imagination of the public. And I think there's very few Leitrim groupings of players and management teams that do get those kind of opportunities. 94 was one, the Connacht final in 2000 was another. You could probably throw in the minors in 98, and maybe the FBD League wins in 13 or 14. But we're jumping almost 10 years between every single one of those. And I think we have to remember that the first season that Terry was in the job, I think he put so many smiles on Leitrim people's faces that, and that can't be taken away after what have been two disappointing seasons. And I think everybody who's ever followed Leitrim will be very thankful to Terry and that particular group in that gave us those memories from two seasons ago. It's unfortunate the way it's ended, but I think it's come to a natural conclusion for everybody. And I suppose I just want to put on record, from my point of view, a huge thank you to Terry, who sometimes gave the same interview three or four times after a game to various media outlets. And generally, I was nearly one of the last to get to chat to him on a lot of occasions, and he never seemed to give out or have a problem with having another interview. And I always found him very professional and very thorough at what he did. So thank you to Terry and his team for all the support to us and to me personally over the last 3 years. I do look forward to see who comes in the next couple of years. But anyway, that's the inter-county season. We will be talking to the Meyer manager next week. Aidan Dock will be joining us to talk about their performance and their upcoming clash with Sligo in the minor championship semi-final. A nice opportunity for a Leitrim team to get to a Connacht final and maybe put a bit more of a gloss to the season. But it is all about the club season from here on in, pretty much, on the show. We've talked about it a few times now. We had hoped to have somebody from Anaduff on the show, but unfortunately just the interview we had lined up just didn't quite materialise at the last minute. Derek, from a Gortletra point of view, we've talked on this. I don't think it's a case of Anaduff running scared, but there are a lot of rumours coming out of the club about injuries to key players. I know there's rumours about maybe Conor Reynolds having had an injury against Mayo, and a couple of other lads have maybe picked up along the middle of their team, like their key central players having issues maybe with a couple of broken hands floating around as well. It doesn't look great for Anaduff, at least from the optics coming in. The league form hasn't been great, although how much we can read into that, I'm not quite sure. What are your thoughts, I suppose, as a Gortletra man, but also as someone who's very familiar with Anaduff as well over the years?
Yeah, look, at you're always going to have to chat about players that are injured or have been injured. It's an intermediate final, do you know? So people have played before. We've seen inter-county footballers at stages with light casts on their hands, do you know, that would go out and play. So the Anaduff players are going to be no different than that. If there was that many injuries in the camp, it would be, but from my point of view, I'd be broadcasting it anyway, whether it was or not. Because look, it's we play mind games everywhere, like, you know. And to be honest, the dog. To be honest, like, we have a number of, as they call them, light tissue injuries, but such is life. We never, no team ever goes into a county final or plays a competition without having the light injuries. It's not going to take away from the fact that Anaduff are going to be very hard bet, even with Gortletra at full flight, with maybe one or two niggly injuries. So the likes of Connor, of course he'll play. This is the final. So look at, if you want to. I lived in Anaduff for about 10 years. I know the ins and outs. I could do a split personality kind of interview here if you want to. You know, I'm liable to do anything.
There's some that would say you've already got a couple of personalities going on there, Derek. We won't ask you to prove them right. But in terms of the actual weekend, how much does this mean to teams? Because you've got this really weird situation. It feels like it's a game in isolation because the semi-final was so long ago, and yet you win this game or you lose this game, you're into a senior championship campaign in 2 weeks or an intermediate championship campaign in three. And I think the momentum is going to carry anybody into a senior championship campaign. I think teams are really going to struggle if they have to pick themselves up after disappointment in the county final and face back into an intermediate challenge.
Yeah, look, there's lots of different ways to look at it, Breffni. A disappointment that you didn't win last year's final, or is a disappointment that you're not playing senior championship? I think the biggest thing for both sets of players is, do I want to be a senior player, or do I want to potentially stay at intermediate level for quite possibly the next 4 or 5 years? You know, you have to win the intermediate to get back to senior. It's easier probably to stay there than to get up there. So, like, the Gortletra lads are, they're flying as a training, they're putting in a big effort, but it's all in a day. Like, they're going to be playing a game in, quite possibly, if it cools down an awful lot, 27 or 28 degrees at 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's going to bring up a whole different kettle of fish, got to do with fatigue, exhaustion. Do you know what I mean? So there's another player on the field, which is the heat. We've all felt it this week. We've seen the kids at the cool camps. You have to get them into the shade for 20 minutes, keep them hydrated. So we're not used to this sort of stuff. We got it last year. We got our lovely COVID summer. Now we're getting another dose of it. But both sets of players, and like, we'll have no doubts in Gortletra that Anaduff are going to be coming out to win the game. If they keep their emotions out of it and they play football, I think that we have a better all-round 15 or maybe 20. But I'm biased, so I would say that anyway. And I don't mind calling it that I think Gortletra would win the game, but it's not gonna be their own way the whole way. And you have the likes of, we'd say, Ray Cox. He has to mind himself at the age that he's at, because he's at my vintage and he still can score goals and points and set them up. He's intelligent. He doesn't cover the whole field. He covers where he knows he'll get the ball. And that's what you want. Like, if any of the younger players, even, we'll go back to the inter-county crew, if they watch Ray Cox, that quite possibly trains very little to try and stay injury-free, and you see his movement on the field, there's a lot to be learned from it. And you put that into younger players in their 20s at an inter-county level or club level, do you know, you're making an awful lot easier. You're conserving energy, and that'll be a big thing for Sunday with the heat. Conserve your energy.
But the question is, if he's your vintage, why aren't you involved on Sunday and trying to stop him?
Oh, that would be an ecumenical matter. Is that what you say?
Well, listen, it's not the only game of the weekend, of course. I'm not going to ask you to put your head on the block and pick a winner, because I think we all know who you're going to side with, and the head, heart might rule the head on that one. But there is one game we can get your opinion on, and that's Ahvaz and Clun in the Junior Championship Final, the Vistamed Junior Championship Final, which takes place Saturday evening at 7 p.m. It'll be decidedly cooler, although based on the temperatures in the evenings over the last couple of days, I can't see it being much, much cooler. How do you think this one's going to go? Clun have kind of struggled enough through their league campaign. Ahvaz seem to have been impressive in some of their performances. Do you have any idea on how you think this one's going to work out for both sides?
Look, you might be struggling by times. I know the Clun have, in the last number of years, player numbers have been hard. Ahvaz are probably on the rise maybe 2 or 3 years earlier than Clun, because they had, I suppose, they had gone down after, I suppose, looking back on 2000 when they bet us in the county final, and then stuck at senior for a number of years, and then it kind of fell off a cliff for a certain length of time. But Ahvaz have been building up. We played them in a junior game, was it 2 weeks ago, and there's some promising young footballers. Fintan McBrien is involved with their junior team. If you have somebody on the line of that, you know, that can talk to the players, calm them down, show the experience, I think Ahvaz, it'll be narrow, like it'll be tight. Clun aren't going to give it away on a plate to Ahvaz. I just think that they're about 2 years ahead. Ahvaz are building and Clun are trying to maintain. And I think that could be, Ahvaz want to move back up again.
Yeah, I think Vince McBrien and the kind of the calm nature. People might laugh when they hear that, but he is very kind of calm on the line, and I think he just brings that experience. That if he can drag his players through that, I think it's going to be a really good game, and I do fancy Ahvaz to win it. Although, as you said, I think the local rivalry is going to make that a really, really big battle for the title on Saturday evening. And the best of luck to both teams. That those games, both of course, taking place in Avonmony Park, Sean McDermott in Carrick and Shannon, 7 p.m. throw-in for the Junior A football final on Saturday, and 1 o'clock, as you mentioned, Sunday afternoon, Annadale versus Cork Lettre. Those games both being played over this weekend. There is, of course, 2 finals to be played in the Maesteg football leagues as well. In Division 1, Shauna Heslins and Mohill will be doing battle. That game in Ballinamore at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. Two nice sides looking forward to maybe playing each other in the Championship later on in the season. Do you think they'll be kind of keeping their cards close to their chest, or how do you think this one's going to go for both sides?
Look, they're going to be fairly evenly matched. I'd say, like with Ballinamore, they may have a little bit more strength, but do they have the pace and the ability to get more scores than Mohill? I don't think so. I think Mohill have massive numbers at the minute to put out 4 teams. I don't think it's going to be a case of not showing your hand. If you're not showing your hand at this stage, and it's a number of weeks before the championship, you're leaving yourself in an open position. So each team are going to be going out to do their best. Maybe if there's a possibility of some injuries and not chancing players, that might be a little bit different. But look, it'll probably be one of the better games, you know.
Yeah, of course, no finals in Division 2 and 3 because of Cork Lettre has finished top of the table in that particular competition in League 2 or Division 2 and Division 3 of us in the top 2 in that table. So because of their involvement in the junior and intermediate finals, they will not be in league finals in those competitions. They may come back in later in the season, depending on how the championship goes on. I'm not quite sure what the competition structure is like. Other than that, it's going to be a relatively quiet enough weekend. The hurlers, of course, we haven't really talked about them this week. They were beaten by Armagh last weekend in the Nicky Racker Cup. Unfortunately, relegation comes with that result, back down to the Laurie Mar. But it's a realistic chance for Leitrim maybe to regroup and to come back at it next year after a tough, tough draw really brought on a tough, tough season for them at the Nicky Racker Cup level.
Yeah, look, so there's younger players coming on, Breffni, and even if unfortunately you get relegated, it's how you pick yourself up after that. Do you know? So it's not a case if you're going to be relegated and you relegate yourself to the fact that you're relegated, it doesn't work. You need to bounce back And there'll be teams looking at Leitrim going, we'll pick up 2 points here and 2 points there. But Leitrim need to get the training in, keep the younger players that are coming through, make sure to keep coming through because they are the future. It's not the lads that are in their early 30s. We need these 20-year-old, 18, 19, 20-year-old, even 17, when they can play adult. They need to be out there. They need to show no fear and learn because, look, it gives a chance of maybe a little bit of glory again, but they need to grab it within the next 2 years or we'll get away from them.
Well, Derek, I think that's it for the week. We've run out of time. Nice and short this week ahead of two very, very big games, not just from last season, but in terms of where teams are going to be finding themselves in this year's championship. Just before we finish up, I do want to mention something that we've been working on here at Leitrim Daily over the last few months, and that is our souvenir program for the Leitrim Club Championships, male and female, men's and women's football, both involved in this. And it is a profile on every single player in every first team in every club in the county. And it's a real souvenir collector's piece that we're going to be sharing with you very, very soon. So keep an eye out on our social media, Leitrim GAA social media, for that. It's an initiative in association with both the men's GAA and also the Ladies Gaelic Football Association in the county. And I think it's going to be something that's going to make many men, many mantelpieces and a little kind of keepsake that you can click through and see who exactly you're playing next week when you're looking at the fixture list, who are the players that you know the names so well, but you'll be able to put faces and details with them over the next couple of months. Derek, thank you so much for joining me again this week. I know we'll be chatting to you very, very shortly. And before I let you go, though, I did let you off the hook earlier, but now that we've kind of lost most of the followers and people have switched off at this stage, who do you think is going to win the Intermediates on there?
Oh, is it Intermediates on Sunday?
Yeah. I think there's a team called Gortletra and another player. Who do you think is going to win? And we're looking for a score prediction that we're not going to make fun of you at afterwards, I promise.
Fully behind Gortletra now, in all fairness, because look, I know all the lads in Duff and have some extremely good footballers and some very nice fellas, do you know? But at the end of the day, it's a final. You don't take any prisoners in a final. You leave it all on the field and you shake hands at the end of it. Say well done to the opposition, whoever wins or loses, and you walk away and you take it from there. So hopefully we'll be bringing a little bit of silverware. We'll probably have to give it back extremely quick, you know, but to get your hands in it is the main thing anyway.
As long as you get it for 24 hours down to Cornegia, you'll be happy enough. But I'm sure Anadolf will have plenty of opinions about that over the next couple of days. The best luck to you and your Gortletra clubmates on Sunday. Also to Anadolf, to Avas and Clune, who also take part in championship finals in the next 7 days. We'll be back next week. Talk to you then.